You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
In the studios with me is Captain Ismail bin Hashim, who is the Chief Executive Officer of Port of Tanjung Pelepas. I've read somewhere also described you, Captain, as a master mariner. So we're very happy to have the master mariner here in the BFM studios. We're here to talk about the Port of Tanjung Pelepas. Can you give us an indication by way of starting this interview of what has the port achieved to date? How well has it done?
It started in 1995 when we had a concession from the government of Malaysia for a period of 60 years. And then for the concession, we were given an opportunity to build, operate and transfer under the BOT concept to build, operate and transfer the development of Pelabuhan Tanjung Pelepas. We started our construction work in 97 and effectively we completed the first two berths in 99 and we tested the first ship, which was the Saipan Mariner, in October 1999. And since then, we started commercial operations in 2000, and with that, we had our first customer, which was Maersk Line, which happens to be also our strategic partner, and came to with us in August of 2000. And effectively, from then onwards, we took a tremendous increase in our volumes, and we did about 400,000 TEUs in the year 2000, which last year we did 5.6 million TEUs, so that was a tremendous double-digit growth over the years.
But surely, given the current financial global financial crisis, Captain, this is not the kind of growth that PTP can expect in the coming year, or perhaps even in the next two or three years.
Okay, the current economic downturn, we are finding that this is impacting everybody. But at the same time, we believe that this situation is a temporary situation and very much a short-term situation, which will give us an opportunity to reposition ourselves in terms of our services and in terms of the development that we do. It will be a continuation in terms of the long-term growth that PTP has to grow double-digit very aggressively, because today what we have is only one-fifth our full potential.
All right, and you're saying that this will happen because of how you're going to position yourself, despite the fact that reports already indicating that throughput at ports has already been declining since the fourth quarter of last year?
Yes, effectively you are very right. We have monitored the last quarter of 2008. There has been a decline of about 6% in terms of the business throughput. But in this context, we believe that we have the world's two biggest lines using PTP, and basically we are a transshipment port, and effectively lines will be looking at how to do things more cost effective, because they are similarly affected by the economic downturn. And for that purpose, you will find that transshipment business is more lucrative than even the direct import-export, which is obviously contracting.
Okay, so if you're talking about transshipment, then there are no plans at the moment to develop, say, your gateway business or your hinterland cargo business?
Okay, basically for the gateway business, we are looking at the opportunities that avail itself with the government's aggressive drive for the Iskandar Malaysia. And basically we see here that one of the drivers of the activities in Iskandar Malaysia will be logistics. And basically for that purpose, we have today about 370 acres of free zone land, which is being leased and operated by logistic companies as well as manufacturing companies to contribute to the port's business. And at the same time, with that land, Iskandar Malaysia has got about 2,000 square kilometers of area, which eventually the opportunities of this business will be using PTP as a gateway business. And gateway business, whilst in terms of volume is smaller than the transshipment business for PTP, but it is also a premium business because the rates that it commands is much higher than the transshipment business.
All right. Well, staying on the subject of Iskander, a lot of people were of the opinion that PTP was going to be highly dependent on Iskander's development. And for Iskander to develop, they say it has to have a lot of political will. There's got to be a lot of benefits and things that would attract FDI or companies to go and start up there. Now, if there is a change, this would be really very difficult for PTP to operate, because these are factors which are beyond your immediate control.
Yeah, you're very right. This is probably the circumstances that you will see on the surface. But deep inside, you will find that the cost of doing business in Malaysia is much more cheaper than the our next door neighbor. The cost of land is is one of the component, essential component of doing business, and the other one is the cost of labor. So basically, with these two essential fundamental component, you will find that it is an opportune that with or without Iskander Malaysia is a natural thing to develop in Southern Johor.
Okay, well, aside from Singapore, and that there was always that issue whether, you know, Tanjung Pelepas would be able to compete with Singapore. But aside from that, there are other ports which are servicing Iskander. You have Pasir Gudang, you have the Tanjung Langsat. How does that fit into the scheme? How does PTP fit into the scheme of things? You're all doing different things, servicing different areas, or are you all in competition with each other?
Okay, individually, we may appear as a competition, but basically the competition is more in a secondary nature, because essentially the PTP and Pasir Gudang has a common shareholder in terms of MMC, and basically PTP is operating with another foreign partners, which is AP Moller, owner of the MERS line. Mm-hmm. And basically, we have another logistic arm, which is SATS, Senai Airport Terminal Services. And basically, we have some common interest to pursue, which I suppose our shareholders would be looking at how to operate it on a much more synergistic approach, so that the maximum return can be obtained for all stakeholders.
All right. Well, Captain, you mentioned actually two areas that I do want to talk about. One is MMC and the other one is Senai. Let's go to MMC first. Now, there's a lot of people who are concerned with MMC having a high debt level. How does that impact on PTP?
I think that is basically a shareholders matter, which I think I wouldn't like to comment upon. And I believe, I think in the wisdom of things, I think they are organizing themselves in such a way that they will be a very relevant and a global player in terms of the infrastructure and transport sector.
Sure. It's not so much about the politics behind it, Captain, but more really the synergies that you were talking about. Part of the reason for, say, divesting of shares would be to be able to concentrate on Senai. Therefore, one would think that there would be a tie-up from your air cargo going to marine cargo. Yeah. So I just wanted your thoughts on that whole situation, how you would see it growing from your perspective.
Okay, from our perspective, what we can see is there will be opportunities for us to relook back whether we should be operating from two facilities in terms of the container business, or whether there is opportunities where we could maximize in terms of the capital investment. And basically, we can look at how we can use this scarce human capital to make be more optimal in terms of the opportunities for doing the business.
BFM 89.9, the business station.